An emergency landing kills a pedestrian. Two Northwest pilots settle their case with the FAA. And Boeing has a fourth Dreamliner in the air. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, March 17, 2010. A man who was jogging on the beach was killed Monday evening when he was struck by a Lancair 4P making an emergency landing at Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. Neither person in the airplane was injured. The Hilton Head Island Packet reports the pilot, 62-year-old Edward Smith of Chesapeake, Virginia, was flying with an unidentified passenger from Orlando Executive Airport to Norfolk. After reporting engine trouble, he was given vectors for Hilton Head Airport, but found himself with an oil-covered windshield, and then the prop came off the airplane. The jogger, identified as Robert Gary Jones of Woodstock, Georgia, was apparently listening to his iPod while running on the beach and was unaware of the plane landing behind him. The pilot and passenger said they were unable to see Jones because of oil covering the windshield. A crane was used to pluck the Lancair from the water, and it was trucked away for NTSB inspection. The Northwest Airlines pilots who had their airman certificates pulled in an emergency revocation after they overshot their destination airport by 150 miles have dropped their bid to have those licenses returned. The FAA says the settlement means an appeal hearing, which could have resulted in litigation, will not be needed next month. Under terms of the agreement, the pilots will not contest the revocation and may apply for reinstatement of their airman privileges in 10 months rather than 12. FAA spokeswoman Laura Brown tells CNN that when they reapply, they'll need to retake the tests they had originally passed to get those certificates in the first place, and they'd also need simulator time before they could fly commercial airliners. Captain Timothy Cheney and First Officer Richard Cole have been apologetic. Cheney reportedly told the NTSB, quote, "There is no good excuse. I let my guard down. I wish I could explain why," unquote. Boeing reports a fourth 787 Dreamliner has now entered the flight test program, with a three-hour flight Sunday from Payne Field in Everett, Washington, to Boeing Field in Seattle. This plane is the only one in the test fleet equipped with elements of the passenger interior, including cabin and crew support systems. The 787's new sky interior features improved lighting, bigger stowage bins, larger windows with electrochromatic shades, and redesigned lavatories with easier access. Up next on ANN, the ME says the pilot was on meth before the crash. American Airlines cancels 175 furloughs. And AirVenture will be especially electrifying this year. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 17th. I'm Paul Plack. A medical examiner in Oklahoma has determined that 26-year-old Mark James Mahaney had taken methamphetamine and the generic pain medication propoxyphene before he crashed an R-22 helicopter on October 14th, a mile after takeoff from a private residence. He and his passenger, Darcy Scraper, were killed. Conditions at the time were night VFR. The ME's report says the substances were confirmed by tests on Mahaney's liver and brain. The Tahlequah Daily Press reports that the mother of Darcy Scraper has filed a wrongful death suit against Mahaney's estate, his parents, Robinson Helicopter, and others. It's pending in Oklahoma's Cherokee County District Court. American Airlines has told its pilots that it has seen higher rates of pilot attrition than previously expected, and as a result will not have to implement 175 furloughs it previously announced. The layoffs were scheduled to take effect on the 1st of April. The Dallas Morning News reports an email was sent out by American Chief Pilot Mark Hederman Friday morning. Quote, "While those that volunteered for the furlough mitigation program for April won't be needed, I want to thank each of them for their willingness to step up to the plate on behalf of their fellow pilots. It is truly a testament to the character of our pilot corps," unquote. BRS Aerospace says that Boris Popov, its founder and a director, will receive the Sperry Award for 2009. The award was instituted in 1955. It's given in recognition of a distinguished engineering contribution which has advanced the art of transportation. Previous winners include Donald Douglas for development of the DC-3, Ferdinand Porsche for the Volkswagen automobile, the Boeing Company for the 707 passenger jet, and the Bosch Company for development of anti-lock brakes. Popoff says he's deeply honored, quote, "To be included amongst luminaries of such exceptional engineering success is indeed humbling," unquote. He'll formally accept the award at a gala to be announced. The Experimental Aircraft Association says there will be events scheduled throughout the week of Air Venture this summer, highlighting electric power for aircraft. Among the scheduled activities are afternoon showcase flights each day, evening flight demos, and displays and forums in Air Venture's Aviation Learning Center. EAA President and Air Venture Chairman Tom Poberesny says of electric propulsion, quote, "This area will play an increasing role in aviation in this century, and only at Oshkosh can people meet and hear from the innovators themselves and find out more about what it means for individual aircraft owners and pilots," unquote. Air Venture runs July 26th through April 1st at Whitman Regional Airport in Wisconsin. Still ahead, the first single-pilot charters using Eclipse 500s get FAA approval. Former astronauts are split on NASA's new direction. And IATA's projections for the airline are a little bipolar. You're listening to AeroNews.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, March 17th. I'm Paul Plack. By the way, happy St. Patrick's Day, and luck of the Irish to you. You know, looking back through history, I've never been sure exactly what that meant. North American Jet Charter Group announced on Monday it has become the first company to receive FAA Part 135 charter approval for operation of its fleet of Eclipse 500 very light jets in a single-pilot configuration. NAJet says the approval was made possible by the delivery of fully upgraded Eclipse 500 aircraft from the new Eclipse Aerospace Company. The workload reduction of the Avio NG avionics suite is also credited. NAJet sales director Matt Dillon adds, quote, 70% of commercial charter operations have a passenger load of three people or less and a one-way travel distance of less than 750 miles. This is where the Eclipse 500 shines, as its low operating costs allows us to provide our charter clients with pricing at a fraction of twin propeller aircraft or larger jets, unquote. The company's fleet has grown to 10 aircraft, and NAJet says it plans to add more Eclipse 500s as they become available. It's becoming clear that the men who have actually walked on the moon are split about the Obama administration's plan to scrap the Constellation program. Last month, Buzz Aldrin endorsed the Obama plan. Quote, "A near-term focus on lowering the cost of access to space and on developing key cutting-edge technologies to take us further, faster, is just what our nation needs to maintain its position as the leader in space exploration for the rest of this century," unquote. Well, now, two other former moonwalkers have spoken less charitably about the new direction. Apollo 13 Commander Jim Lovell told the BBC on Friday the move could be disastrous. Quote, "Personally, I think it will have catastrophic consequences in our ability to explore space and the spin-offs we get from space technology. They haven't thought through the consequences," unquote. On that same program, Gene Cernan, who in 1972 became the last man to walk on the moon, said he thought the U.S. would have been back there long before 2010 and hopes humans will revisit the moon sooner rather than later. And finally today, this may not do much to boost your faith in airline industry mathematicians. The International Air Transport Association announced just this past December that worldwide airline industry losses would reach $5.6 billion U.S. in 2010. Now, just a few weeks later, the association says that while North America and Europe are still struggling, economic recovery in the emerging markets of Asia-Pacific and Latin America allowed carriers there to post international passenger demand gains of 6.5 and 11% respectively in January. As a result, the projected worldwide loss for 2010 has now been cut in half and is now estimated at only $2.8 billion. The funny thing is, as unstable as this math apparently is, it's probably better than projections of global warming or healthcare costs by either side of either debate. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, the conclusion of my conversation with EAA's Earl Lawrence about skewed NTSB figures for home-built safety. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.